Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
The Bible is a story of redemption, our redemption in Christ Jesus. And today we want to ask the question, what does redemption mean to you? When you hear that word, redemption, when you read it in the Bible, when you tell people that you are redeemed in Christ, what exactly does that mean to you? And we would love to hear your answer to that at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Go ahead and start calling right now. We want to get to as many phone callers as we possibly can on today's broadcast. So, again, that number is 844-322-2742. You know, redemption is one of those big churchy words. It's it's front and center in so much of the Christian literature and in our discussion about this great gospel of Jesus Christ. When you think of the word redemption, what comes to your mind, and how did you understand it before you really understood what it meant?
I thought it was something that God had done to free me from my past, to enable me, here's where I went wrong, to enable me, you know, kind of clean the decks, give me a clean slate so that moving forward, I could behave. I could be the kind of person God wanted me to be. And so, of course, I failed at that.
So every day was like a new beginning.
Please,
hey, it's a clean slate again.
Please redeem me. I found myself back in chains.
Yes.
And there just wasn't anything satisfying about it. I mean, we sang these great songs in church. We studied great literature and passages in the Bible, and all of them talking about redemption. And yet there was nothing there that grabbed me in a way that said, you know, this really is mine.
Yes.
And it wasn't until years later when passages like we looked at yesterday, we're going to look at again today, began to dawn on me that I wasn't redeemed just sort of a wink at your bad behavior in the past so that you can try harder in the future. It was nothing like that.
Yeah, it does really speak to the idea of freedom.
Yes.
And I think it's a very significant word as far as where we are in our calendar. We just celebrated our independence as a nation, 240 years free from British tyranny. So there was this fight for freedom. We wanted to establish a new way of life. And really, that kind of conveys a lot of this idea of redemption, that there was a ransom price that was paid. Jesus Christ paid that. We talked about it yesterday, and let me read that verse again. It's Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12 down through 14. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. So here the writer is comparing the priesthood of Jesus to the Levitical priesthood. Uh-huh. And so the high priest on the Day of Atonement entered into the holy place, or the most holy place, first with the blood of a bull for his own sins, and then the blood of a goat for the sins of the people. Well, Jesus didn't use the blood of bulls and goats. It was his own blood, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So Jesus didn't go into that Holy of Holies in the temple there in Jerusalem. He entered heaven itself, the Holy of Holies, of which that Holy of Holies in Jerusalem was patterned after. So he entered into heaven itself. He offered his blood once and for all, and thus obtained eternal redemption. So this isn't a temporary reprieve. This is eternal redemption. It's an eternal setting free from sin and death. And I think a lot of times when we think of the word redemption, we miss the fact of what we've been set free from. We've been loosed. Those chains have been loosed. Our enemies have always been sin and death. Those were the problems. And that's what kept us bound. We were under the control of sin. Sin was our master. That's why we were called sinners. That was our nature. Everything that we did was controlled, manipulated by the power of sin in our lives. We were, in essence, married to sin, and death was the result. We were spiritually dead. That's how we came into this world. So those were our two enemies. And through this ransom price, through this eternal blood that was shed by Jesus, we've been redeemed from that, set free from sin and death. That's what redemption is all about, the setting free of mankind, of you and me individually, from the power of sin and death. We've been set free from that so that we can experience a new way of life. So think about the Revolutionary War. We won our independence from British control, British rule, British reign, so that we could establish a new order of business, a new order of life for Americans, the American way of life. That's what we call it. So in this redemption story, we've been redeemed from sin and death. That was our old way of life. We were under the control of sin. We were fearful of death because once death came, judgment came, and it was all over at that point. Yeah. But we've been set free from that so we can live in the newness of life, so that we can serve our God in a new way of the Spirit. And that's what the writer of Hebrews goes on to say. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they were outwardly clean. Mm-hmm. So that blood cleansed them outwardly,
yes,
but not internally. Said, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? So there's this redemption, this loosing, this setting free from sin and death so that we can serve the living God.
Yes.
And it does so, this blood does so in such a way that it cleanses our consciences, so that we can serve a living God. We saw in the Old Covenant, or in the book of Ezekiel, for example, that there was going to be a time when God would sprinkle our hearts clean and give us a new heart. Mm-hmm. Well, this is what this is referring to here. We have clean consciences before God so that we can have the confidence to serve him in a new way. That's what redemption is all about. Let's talk about it on today's broadcast, 844-322-2742. What does redemption mean to you? We want to hear your thoughts, your ideas. So call right now, 844-322-2742. We have a wonderful resource for our listeners this month. It's entitled Freedom Fighters. If you want to know more about this freedom that you have in Christ, this is a wonderful, wonderful resource. And certainly those that support this ministry are standing on the front lines fighting for the freedom of those who are in bondage to sin and death, emotional pain, all kinds of things that we're in bondage to as human beings. And this gospel message addresses all of those various chains and loosens those chains, unlocks them in such a way so that we can walk free. So all of those who support this broadcast, you are on the front lines fighting for the freedom of those who are in bondage to sin and death, and we thank you for that. And for your gift this month, we're going to send this resource, Freedom Fighters, so you can learn more about the freedom that you have in Christ. All the information on how to get that is available at basicgospel.net. Just click the donate link and you will see more information about the resource itself and how to request your copy. We want to put one of those in your hands as quickly as possible. This is also a wonderful resource that you can share with friends and neighbors and family Yes. members and those that you work with to help them understand this new way of life that Jesus is offering through his death, burial, and resurrection. So take advantage of this opportunity to get a resource to help you in your spiritual journey and also to minister to others that you care for and want to see go free in their lives as well.
Yeah. Back in the day, when I missed this point, what I was doing, if you remember what we just read, Jesus offered himself unblemished to cleanse our consciences so that we may serve the living God. I thought I was supposed to serve the living God in order to have a clean conscience. And as long as I had that backwards, I remained in bondage. It was when I turned it around, as the Bible tells me to do, that the freedom came. And there's a question here that is related to it. I like the way it was asked. God the Father made a new covenant with Jesus Christ through the perfect sacrifice and sinless blood. I am invited to partake in this covenant simply by believing and receiving. So the question is, God made this covenant with Jesus, not with me, even though I'm invited to enter in?
Well, I think that's a really good question. And, to think that God made a covenant with Jesus, it gets a little confusing and of how it really relates to us. But think of it in terms of a will. So you and I have a will. We write down our desires of what's going to happen to our assets upon our deaths. Now, those wills don't go into effect until the day that we die. And once there's proof of death, the lawyer will bring out the will, will call those who are beneficiaries in, and he will have a reading of that will. Now, at that point, you as a beneficiary are going to be able to take hold of those things that were left to you, but not a moment before. And so this new covenant is like a will. So it's God the Father, God the Father's, and Jesus Christ the Son's, and the Holy Spirit's desire and will for each and every one of us. Mm-hmm. So he willed that we would know God the Father from the least of us to the greatest of us. He willed that we would be his people and that he would be our God. He willed that we would have his laws of faith, hope, and love written on our hearts and in our minds. He willed that our sins would be remembered no more, and where these have been forgiven, there's no longer any sacrifice for sin. That's what he willed. And those things went into effect the day he died. Now, we're invited to experience those blessings and promises through faith in Jesus. So once we respond to the gospel message, those promises of the new covenant become ours. So it was the will of God that was made known to us in Jesus, and it's his desire, and we just get the blessing of that. The old covenant was a different type of covenant. It was bilateral. In other words, there were two parties. It was made between two parties, God and Israel. And it was built on an if-then proposal. If you obey my commandments and my statutes, then you will be my people and I will be your God. So if Israel didn't live up to their end of the bargain, which they didn't, that basically nullified that old covenant. Yes. Yet God remained faithful in spite of Israel's unfaithfulness. Now, this new covenant is not like that. It's different. It's unilateral. It's just God declaring things to be so in Christ. And so when we are found in Christ through faith in his death, burial, and resurrection, then those things that God has declared to be true in Christ become ours.
Yes.
That's that new covenant. So we've been set free from sin and death. That was what we were under. The Mosaic covenant helped to point that out. And through faith in Jesus, we were rescued. The ransom price was paid. We were delivered from sin and death so that we could walk in the newness of life in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, I'm Bob Christopher along with Richard Pfeiffer. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Want to remind our listeners also of our upcoming trip to Israel next February, February 7th through the 18th. All the information on how you can register and come join us on this trip of a lifetime is available at basicgospel.net, and just click the events tab. All the information on how to register is right there. The deadline for registration is August 1st. All you need to do when you register is to submit a deposit of $500, and then there's a kind of a payment plan over the next several months to complete the payment. But if you would like to come and see the land of Israel through the eyes of the new covenant, through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is the trip for you. We're going to see and absorb all that we can, and I know in my life when I've been over there, boy, the Bible just comes to life even more than, you know, not having gone over there. It's just quite remarkable to see kind of the picture, the story in vivid detail as you read the Word. So we want you to come and join us on that next February, February 7th through the 18th. All the information is at basicgospel.net. Click the events tab. We have a couple of videos there. You can download a brochure. We have a number that you can call if you have questions about safety, about what to take, all of those sort of things. Call that number. Evelyn Wheeler or Eileen Mason will talk with you and calm your anxieties and really, I think, give you the excitement to say, yes, I want to come and be a part of this.
Yes. Let's pursue something that you brought up just a little minute ago. You were talking about God's will. And we get this question a lot, whether on the radio or, you know, other phone calls, other venues. What is God's will for my life? And you just described it, right? And I'd like you to go over it again, because it is so important to understand God's will for my life in order to understand the freedom that I've been redeemed to enjoy. So could you restate that just a little bit more? Because, you know, we just went through it, and it's important, but most people don't really stop and say, wow, this is God's will for my life. God's will is not what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
God's will is what he wants for me. How is that different?
Well, we oftentimes think of God's will in terms of a plan. You know, a particular job that I'm going to have, the person I'm going to marry, the city I'm going to live in, you know, my purpose in life as far as my activities to advance the kingdom of God. And yes, there are things like that that come about as we walk by faith in Christ. But the real will of God is this new covenant that he put into place, that he ushered in through the death of Jesus Christ. A will does not go into effect until the one who made it dies. So Jesus came, he occupied the body that God had prepared for him. He walked in perfect love. He fulfilled the old covenant in its entirety. And then through his death, he ushered in this brand new covenant. So it's God's will for you to have written on your hearts and in your minds the laws of God, not the Ten Commandments, but the laws of faith, hope, and love. So God, through his Holy Spirit, writes those things on your heart, the willingness and the desire to trust Jesus in all situations, the anchor of hope that grounds you as you walk in this world, and the expression of that, the very love of God that will overflow into the lives of others. So it's God's will for you to walk in faith, hope, and love. And that's only made possible through the indwelling Holy Spirit. It's God's will for you to walk in assurance of salvation, that you know that you belong to God, that you are one of the people of God, that you're a part of the body of Christ. Again, the Holy Spirit assures our hearts and minds so that we will not fear on the day of judgment, that we know that we will be treated as sons on that very day. So it's God's will for you to walk in assurance. It's God's will for you to know God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. As a matter of fact, that's what eternal life is. One of your favorite verses, and I know it's one of my favorite verses, is John 17:3. It's the only place in the Bible where eternal life is defined. And Jesus said it this way: eternal life is this, that they may know you and the one whom you have sent. So what is eternal life? It's knowing God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. Not just knowing about them, but really experiencing a personal, intimate relationship with them. And as we get to know God the Father and understand that He is love, then that starts to transform us. As we get to know Jesus Christ the Son, the same thing that begins to transform us. That's God's will for our lives. The fourth thing, it's God's will for us to know that our sins have been forgiven once and for all, and that He remembers them no more. I mean, that was the big deal for me. Yes. I thought God was up there just putting a little check mark or a black mark next to my name every time I sinned. And, you know, by the time I was 15, there was just, I was thinking there was just this line of marks a mile long.
Yeah, I thought God, there was so much sin that God asked me to stop sinning so He could just catch up and finish writing.
Yes.
And now you can go back to sinning because I've caught up.
Right, right. We just have crazy notions, yeah, don't we? But that's what I thought. But in reality, God had already dealt with my sin at the cross. He judged my sin. He punished my sin. And Jesus took it for me. Jesus stood in my place and took my punishment for me. So the second letter of Corinthians states that, you know, God has reconciled us in Christ, and He's not counting our sins against us. So there are no check marks by our names in the heavenly accounting books. We keep those records. We keep those check marks. But in light of the truth, we shouldn't. Why? Because God has forgiven our sins, and He remembers them no more. And that's God's will for us, to walk in that confidence, to walk in that assurance. So that's the will of God for us. And as we begin to embrace that and to live that out, then we gain the wisdom in navigating this world in which we live today. We gain the wisdom in learning to choose between job A and job B. We learn the wisdom in choosing, you know, a mate and all of those sort of things. And we can then make those choices in confidence, knowing that God's going to cause all things to work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Well, what is His purpose? What is His will? It gets back to that new covenant.
Yes.
So we embrace that. We're going to recognize and learn that God does work all things together for our goods. That's what we've been redeemed for, that to experience this new covenant, to experience the promises of God, and to live those out in day-to-day life, to be light in this world of darkness. That's what the will of God is all about. Embrace it. It's a powerful
sure
thing. But it really begins with the redemption story, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
The fact that Jesus rescued us through His death, burial, and resurrection, that He redeemed us, that He obtained an eternal redemption for us, not just a partial, not just a temporary, but an eternal redemption for each and every one of us who come to Christ by faith. So what does redemption mean? It means that I've been rescued from sin and death so that I can walk in the newness of life through faith in Jesus Christ. That's a powerful, powerful truth, a powerful reality. Well, again, we thank all of those of you for listening today. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your life. We hope this discussion on redemption has been helpful and encouraging to you. If it has, let us know. Write to us at bob@basicgospel.net. That's bob@basicgospel.net. Also, Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. We need your help. We would love for others to come alongside of us to help tell the redemption story so that others can go free and experience this new life in Christ Jesus. All the information on how to give, be a part of what God is doing through Basic Gospel, is on our website at basicgospel.net. Just click the support link and all the information is right there. Well, now for Richard Pfeiffer, for Greg Park, for Coleman, for Michelle, for Jeannie, for the rest of the Basic Gospel team, so long from Lewisville, Texas. We'll see you again tomorrow.